Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
And allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we exalt you and magnify you. Lord, I'm asking God that you would just give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, here we go. Okay, if you have your cell phones, fax machines, scanners, if you could put them on the off or silent position. Amen? Here we go. I've entitled this evening's message, God Leads You to Repentance. He's the one that leads us to repentance. I got saved at the age of 30. I'm 65 now. God was long-suffering in calling me to a place of repentance. And when he gets you to that place, you will know it's him drawing you, because he will have you surrendering a lot of things in your life that you thought that was so important, and he'll give you a heart to seek him, and you'll want him now. And that's what happened to me and many others that I know. So we're going to see how God gave this revelation to Paul the Apostle. Paul's the one that wrote the book of Romans, and he wrote many epistles. And you remember, he was Saul of Tarsus. He was a persecutor of the saints. He was a persecutor of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But God radically saved him, just like he's radically saved us. How many believe that you were radically saved? Come on. Oh, that's right. You remember the day you want nothing to do with him. And so, let's read the word, and then we'll break it down. And here we go. Verse 1. Therefore, you are what? Inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. For whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. We're going to find out what these things are. And look at verse 3. It says, and do not think this, O man, who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? This is where I got the topic tonight. This is where I got the title. The goodness of God. God leads you to repentance. Amen?
Amen.
And in verse 5, but in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart. Impenitent means unrepentant heart. Look at this. You are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. This is letting those know, us as believers, that there's a day of wrath coming. Because Jesus said it clearly in the Gospels. He said that when a person dies in their sin without Jesus Christ, the wrath of God is upon him. Wow. It's a serious indictment, isn't it? And so in verse 6, who will render to each one according to his deeds? What God is saying tonight is, it's not about checks and balances. Because God is righteous. He's holy. Aren't you so blessed that he's not fair? Because if he was fair, we would all not escape his judgment. But he's just. And when he saved us, now we are justified by the blood of Jesus, just as if we've never sinned. Isn't that something? Only God can do that miraculous thing in our life. And verse 7, look at this. An eternal life to those by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. That should be our DNA now. That should be in us right automatically. The day we gave our heart to Christ and he changed us from the inside out. Now we have a hope. That hope is what? Glory. That hope is eternity. That hope is to be with him. The hope of being just like him. The Bible says when we see Jesus for the first time, face to face, the Bible says we're going to be just like him. How many can't wait for that moment? I can't. So let's break this all down. Let's break this all down. Let's go back to verse 1 and Romans chapter 2. It says, therefore you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are, who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. Okay, so saints, the critic here is the Jewish audience. Because he wrote to them first. Remember the Jew first and then us Gentiles, right? For Paul is focusing primarily on the Jewish people. But then God says, I've appointed you to the Gentiles. So he went out venturing out preaching to us who are Gentiles, right? I don't think there's Jewishness in this room right here tonight, is there? No. My dad's Filipino, my mom's Mexican. No, you won't find no Jewish in me. You see, Paul had criticized the horrible evil of the Gentiles. He did. Remember, he was on a tear before he got saved. Remember, he was attacking the church called the Way. And during this time in the book of Acts, this was the persecuted and one and only church that Saul of Tarsus was going after until his radical conversion. And once he got radically saved, God gave him a new name, Paul, the Apostle Paul. And so many of these Gentiles had sins of idolatry, homosexuality, and their general lifestyle. You see, this was not in the Jewish heritage. It might have been hidden, but it wasn't out in the open. Why? Because God had clarity in the law of God. The Jews knew the Levitical law. They knew about the Ten Commandments. They knew about what an abomination was, so they didn't fiddle or faddle with it. But the Gentiles, we were considered heathens. The Bible says we were considered dogs until God saved us. Can I get an amen? I'm telling you, we were someone you want to just vomit out. We were horrible. There was nothing good in us as far as the Gentiles were concerned. But God said, I came to save them too. How many are so blessed to know that Jesus came to save us too? Can I get amen? Amen. He didn't leave us in our sin. That's what I love about God. And so this Jewish critic, he nodded in agreement and assumed that he was free from such vices. But no. Because even though the Jew knew the laws, the law cannot save them. Can I get amen? The law cannot save them. So that's why they needed Jesus. They needed the Messiah to come. So that the Jew and Gentile will become one man in Christ. Did you know that we are now a new creature? We are a new created being. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So we are the new man now on the inside. And the last final completion is when we get the new body. How many can't wait for that new body? Amen. Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, this body moans and groans just like the Bible. We're going to get later on in Romans in the further chapters where it talks about the earth, the animals, the plant life, the whole world, and us humans are moaning and groaning for the change. And this is where Jesus will say, oh, death, where is thy sting? See, he came to defeat death, hell, and the grave. And so we don't have to worry no more about a horrible place called hell because he defeated that for us, for you and I. Can I get amen? Amen. And so many Jews believe that their national heritage would save them, but that's a falsehood. Jews still needed Christ. Can I get amen? Amen. They thought their privilege of birth ensured entrance into God's kingdom. No, God used them to bring the word. God used them to bring the law. God used them for a prophetic foreshadow of things to come. But they still needed Jesus too. That's right. Never think that all Jews are saved. No, they're not. Some are being saved, like we are being saved. But not all of them are. Look what I found in Matthew right up here. Let's go up here real quick. In Matthew 3, 8 and 9, it says, therefore, bear fruits worthy of what? Repentance. And do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. What, you know what? When you do a closer look at this, what he's saying is, I don't need the line of Abraham, even though I've chosen them. He goes, I'll raise up stones to praise me. Mm-hmm. I'll have the rocks cry out and worship me. Can I get an amen? But because of his promises, God is a God of yes and amen. So he goes, I don't need them, but I promised them. So when God makes a promise to you and me, guess what? Put a fork in it. It's done. His yeses and amens are eternal. How many believe the promises that he has given you? That he would save us to the very end. Amen? Not only did he give us a new nature on the inside, but he foreshadows, he already sees, because he's the Alpha and the Omega, because he's omniscient, he's all-knowing. So guess what he sees that you and I don't see just yet? Okay? You and I can confirm we've been justified. We're justified by the blood of Jesus, meaning just as if we never sinned, right? Okay? He's sanctifying us. In other words, his Holy Spirit and his power is allowing us to be sanctified. We're learning how to lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us. And now we're pressing toward the prize and the call in Christ Jesus. Okay, but one thing that we don't see yet, and we have to believe by faith, he sees us in our glorified state. What does that mean? That means in the future, he sees us in our brand new bodies already. The new body. Remember, Jesus, you got to remember this. When he died, was buried, and rose again, when he rose again, he was the first prototype body like that. And that body, he ate. Remember, he ate with his disciples before he ascended. And yet, he can appear and then disappear. Wow. It's still a mystery to us. But the Bible says that when we see him for the first time, the Bible says when we see him face to face, we will be like him. And so I want a body like that to appear and then disappear. And you know what really brought some joy to my heart is you could even eat food in that body. We love to eat, don't we? He ate fish sandwiches with them on the shoreline. Remember when he rose again? He was seen by 500 people. And he ate with his disciples on the beach. And what did they serve him? Fish and bread. Scoot over, Rubio's. Here's some good food right here. Oh, come on. He ate with them. That lets me know that we can also eat in this body. This new body. I don't know where the food goes. I believe it probably just disintegrates. Because this human body needs all the organs to function. We need blood, we need the heart, we need everything else. That one doesn't need that. Because gravity doesn't contain it. The law of gravity has us bound to this earth or we float away. And so God made this world perfectly for us to exist on this earth in this human capacity. But the new body, come on, I want that one. And God promised it to us. How many believe he's promised you a brand new body? You better believe that. You better believe that. And so they went to great lengths to separate themselves from unclean Gentiles during this time that we're reading all this. So when Paul finished his list of characteristics of those whom God will judge, Paul knew, saints of God, that the Jewish listeners would agree that such people are terrible and deserve great punishment. They deserve, every one of us deserve great punishment because we were all idolaters. 2,000 years later, even in the day that we live in right now, there's idolatry everywhere. I don't know about you, but before you guys came, before we started prayer at 5, I was just catching a little bit of the news. Two police officers were jumped by about 15 to 20 immigrants and being kicked in the face. Then they were apprehended, and then they were let go within an hour. There's an outcry right now. There's an outcry right now that this is a travesty, and the world's looking at us like weaklings. Come on, back in the day when we were growing up, those people would have been locked away, and they would have threw the key. And some of them probably would have took a beating behind the cell. Oh, come on. Let's just take them down to the station. Yeah. Let's go rough them up. Yeah. They let them out in an hour. Go to Fox News. Just go there and look at the video. They were kicking the cops in the face. They couldn't get up from the ground. On camera. Where has this world gone to? Let me just say this. It's wicked and it's evil now. And Jesus needs to come back and set up order. He needs to clean it up now. How many believe that? Oh yeah, I believe he needs to come and clean it up now. That's right. That's right. But see, one of the things that Jesus and what Paul, especially Paul, that God gave him revelation is, don't be quick to easy to judge one another. Amen? Don't be quick to do that, because God's going to ultimately judge. Even that horrific thing that I just saw, God's going to judge. If they didn't get away, they must have got away for an hour, but they didn't get away. Look what the Word of God says right up here in Matthew. In Matthew 7, 2 through 3, look at this. Jesus said it best. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. Let me just say this, saints. Be careful how you speak about one another. Be careful. Because there are some people in many different churches, I've seen it with my own eyes, they do it unexpectedly, but they'll go rebuke someone before going to leadership, and then it causes them to run out of the church because they were judged. Yeah. Be careful. Be careful. If you don't, like I've always said this, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say nothing at all. Can I get an amen? Because people in the days that we live in can get offended right away. Yep. And I never seen the church so anemic in this now. Back in the day, I bet Brother Art could testify with me. Back in the day, before we got saved, we used to tussle it up with our friends. We used to probably get drunk and whoop each other, and then the next morning we were still friends, weren't we? Man, you say something in church now, they're gone. I'm offended. It's like, wow. Back in the day, it was not like that. But now it's different now. So this is why Jesus said this. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. So whatever you speak against someone, whatever reproach, whatever, whatever backbite you do to someone, Jesus said it'll come back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? So here you are trying to correct someone. Yeah, you know. And then God said, there's a big giant pole in your own eye. Listen, before you go try to counsel someone, before you come and try to tell someone how to behave or whatever, you know what? Get wisdom. Come to leadership. Come together with the leaders. Talk about it before you go say something. Because when you say something without, and it's out of order, you will cause those people to hightail out of here. And they think it's coming from the top. Are you catching what I'm saying here tonight? We got to be real careful with people and how we entreat them. We're supposed to be a church that loves. Can I get amen? That embraces, that'll lift up, not to burden someone. Someone may be going through a horrific day, and you thought, totally, don't even understand what they're going through. My goodness, be careful. This is why God is saying this. So let's go now to verse 2 of Romans chapter 2. Look at what it says. It says, but we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. Now, Paul assumes that all readers will agree with him regarding God's judgment. Let me just say this, saints. Human judgment is based on prejudice and partial perception. You catch that? God's judgment is based on the truth. He judges on the basis of the facts and about what you and I, what we do. And there is no doubt that God will punish sinners. He will. But that's up to God to punish them, not us. Can I just say amen? We pray for people that have sinned. Or like the people that did that to those cops today. I said, God, I know you're going to judge them. But you know what I also said in the last little breath that I had about that incident? Save them, God. Yeah. They don't know you. We were no different. We were no different. Back in the day before we got saved, we didn't have friendly words for cops. Come on. Did we? Oh, no. We called them every ungodly thing you could think of. And so, look what King David wrote right here. Look at this in Psalm 68, 1 and 2. He wrote, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let those also who hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. We have to turn them over to God. Let God do what he's going to do. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Listen, God in place, the law. Even though the law is corrupt right now, we got to still trust in the law. Can I get amen? My brother, who's an investigator for the DA's office, he said, nowadays you got to embrace yourself. You got to now have firearms in your home to protect yourself in the days that we live in. Can I get amen? Because anyone that breaks into your home has bad and evil intent. And so let's move on to Romans chapter 2, verse 3. Look at this. It says, and do you think this, O man, who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? He's talking about double-minded folks. You know what he's saying here? You're judging folks. You're pointing out their sin. And you're doing the same thing behind the door. Shame on us if we operate like that. Calling out people, trying to put them in check. And you're not in check yourself. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Man, I'm telling you, in this walk, you got to walk lowly, humbly. I'd rather speak kind and build someone up than to tear them down. Because once you tear them down, guess what? They won't want nothing to do with you anymore. People will hold it against you. Saying seven times in the first three verses, Paul used various forms of the Greek word for judgment. It's called krima. Krima. Remember that, krima. And we just read this, but I want to go a little further with this. What Jesus, I'm trying to hit this home for us so that we can understand what Paul was saying here regarding judging. Because we're in that. Last week it was kind of tough, wasn't it? Last week it was talking about the sexual orientation of people, where it's an abomination. That was last Wednesday. But like I shared last week, and I'll share it again, we do not leapfrog over scriptures. We go through it, right? So whatever's in front of us, we go through it. And then we do our best to do expository teaching on it. I know some folks, they'll jump over that. We're not going to talk about this. Because they think it's political. No, it's not political. It's spiritual.
It's biblical. Yeah.
Spiritual and biblical. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And so, in Matthew 7, 1 and 5, let's read that again. Judge not that you not be judged. For what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? We read that, but now let's go on to verse 4 on this. Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye and look at a plank in your own eye? Then Jesus says it. This is red writing. This is red. If it's red in your Bible, these are the words of Jesus.
That's right.
He says, hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck out of your brother's eye. So in other words, be slow on how you roll. Can I get an amen? Man, before you speak, you better be thinking about what you're about to say. Can I get an amen? Because guess what? What you say, it's hard to retrieve it back. I've heard it said best. I'd rather get shot in the leg if it'll heal than have someone chew me up and spit me out where I'm always going to have a heart against them. It'd be hard for me to forgive them. You can't put that yoke on someone where they can't forgive you no more. It hurts. They'll run. They'll go somewhere else. But yet, in the back of their mind, I still remember that person. And until they deal with it with God, they're going to always hold it against you for speaking that, whatever it was. And so, though human beings pass judgments, their judgments are judged by God. So remember, everything that we judge, it's judged by God. And when we stand condemned before God, we have no higher court of appeal. We have no higher court of appeal. Okay, so we have local court. Then we have a judicial court. Then we have a state court. Then we have a federal court. And then we have the highest court is the Supreme Court. Okay, so in heaven, there's only one court, and that's the court of heaven. There's no higher appeal. So when you're standing right there before God, there's no attorney, and there's no other court that you can appeal your case to. And so God, let me just say this. Everything that's fashioned down here is already implicated in heaven. That's why he says, enter into his gates, enter into his courts, because he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the only one that's sitting on the throne that judges the entire universe. God spoke it into existence. He created every living thing. He created all the first heaven, the second heaven, and the third heaven. What is the first heaven? The atmosphere underneath this earth. So everything that we live and breathe and operate, we're in the first heaven, according to the Word of God. The second heaven is beyond the atmosphere. That's where all the stellar, the universe, the constellations, the solar systems, the planets, the stars, the comets, you name it. That's the second heaven. The third heaven is beyond that, and that's where God lives. And Paul and John were translated right into the third heaven. They went to the heaven just like that. And they were in the third heaven. So our Hubble telescope can look at billions of trillions of light years in the second heaven, which is the universe. And it goes beyond, beyond, and beyond that. It goes into infinity. But above that is where God lives. I need you to fathom how big God is.
Wow. Yes.
We're a micron, a tiny little speck on this planet. And that's how big God is. And yet, since he created us, he sent his son to die for us. Wow. What kind of love is that? What kind of love is that? That Jesus would come to die for us. He left his throne of glory. Came from the third heaven to be with us down here. We're like little, what, ants. And yet he became like us. He who knew no sin became sin, that we would become the righteousness of Christ by faith. He did that all for us. Wow. So let's move on now. Let's move on to verse 4 of Romans chapter 2. And it says, or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Wow. I shared with you earlier, I got saved at 30, at the age of 30. But prior to that, I was a knucklehead. I don't know how many people came and witnessed to me. They witnessed to me on my job. My own family members would witness to me. Friends, acquaintances would tell me about turning to God. And I didn't want nothing to do with that. I said, I got my own religion. Oh, that's right. Come on. Most of us in here, I can probably say, I'm guessing now, but I could probably say that many of us probably grew up in the Catholic religion. I know I did. So I used to use that. I got my religion. Stay away. You know, like a vampire using a crucifix. Stay away. And yet I never went to one catechism or whatever, you know, Sunday service. Never went. And yet, through that all, God still drew him. He drew me. He drew you through his loving kindness. He didn't beat me on the head with a bat. He didn't drag me by my ears like my dad would when we had to go get haircuts in Tijuana. My dad would grab us by the ears. God drew us by his love. He was long-suffering. He was patient with us. How many can honestly say we were knuckleheads at one time? Okay, just me? All right. You see, my friends, he postpones punishment in order to give people time to turn from their sin. What? How many of you right now are praying for family members, friends, acquaintances to get saved? Did you know he's long-suffering? Did you know he's patient? I'll tell you what's the greatest hope. Oh, we all know Christ is our only hope. But what is the greatest hope here on this earth? I'm going to ask that question. I want you to ponder that for a moment. What is the greatest hope? God just gave me this out of my notes. What is the greatest hope? Real quick. Okay. So the next time, either you go in this restroom, you go home, look in the mirror, you're the greatest hope. You're the greatest hope to them. Why? Because of what God has done for you. When they see you, they're going to see the hope of glory. Yes. When they see you no more cussing and fussing and drinking and chewing and hanging up that do that, and that you've been sanctified by God, that now you are praising Him and worshiping Him and glorifying Him and want to lay hands on them and pray for them that God would heal them. When they see that change, that's the hope that they need to see in our life. Can I get amen? It's you and I. Yeah. Jesus is the only hope, but the only hope that they can see is you. They don't see Jesus. They don't know the Word. They don't come to Bible study. But they see you. We're that hope. Hallelujah. And there's nothing to boast about. There's nothing to say, oh, look at me. Oh, look what I'm... No. Stay humble, oh man. Oh, daughter. Stay humble before God. Because He wants to use you mightily. The Bible says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and then in due time, He will lift you up. He will answer your prayers. He will bring people that you've been praying for.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just stay humble. Because when they see us, you can now confirm in your own heart that there is hope because He saved me. He saved you. And now He can save them. Look what Peter wrote here, right up here. Look at this. In 2 Peter 3:14. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent. Look at this. Be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. As also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. God wrote to him so that we could be here this day, 2,000 years later, the apostles, Peter, John, Luke, the Gospels, Jude, Timothy, all of these epistles were written down for us. Yes, it did its work then for them, but 2,000 years later, this word is for us. Can I get an amen? Because God already knew what we would need and how to exist and how to operate in the kingdom of God in the year 2024. It's already 2024. What? Everything has gone by fast, hasn't it? It's like lightning speed. It's like time has been now condensed. Wow. You see, my friends, Paul was concerned that these Jews that were overconfident in their special status with God because they had the Torah were unwilling to repent of sin. They didn't believe. A lot of them didn't believe. I'm not a sinner. They would call other people's sins out. But what did Jesus talk about the Pharisees standing in the corner? He said they were like whitewashed tombs. He said, your outside of your cup is clean, but on the inside you are filthy like rags. You see, only God knows the heart. Can I get an amen?
That's right. That's right.
So here's the thing. This is why this study about tonight, about judging and all that, make sure you have a right heart before people, including yourself. Because we can deceive our own self. Make sure you have the right heart. And that God is in everything that you do. That's right. Because they were showing contempt to God's blessings. They took advantage. The Jews back then took advantage. So Paul reminds them that God's kindness is also meant to lead them to repentance. Because all people need to repent. Can I get amen?
Amen.
So let's move on to verse 5 and 6. We only have 7 left, but 5 and 6 in Romans chapter 2, and it reads, but in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. So the kind of person has sat and self-righteousness who Paul is describing here. And guess where they're sitting at? In a place to be judged by God. And I love, how many love Moses? God gave Moses revelation. And when God, when he wrote the 5 books, I believe it was Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Can I get amen? May not be all in that order, but those are the 5 books. Is that the correct order? Thank you, brother. When he wrote these books, God gave him supernatural revelation. And he told all those that were stiff-necked. Remember, he had to pastor over 1 million people when he led them out of what? Egypt. And what did they do? All they did was murmur and complain. They were driving him nuts. But look at what he wrote in Deuteronomy 10:16. Look at this. Therefore, circumcise the foreskin of your heart and be stiff-necked no longer. You see, remember, he brought the law and the males had to do what? Circumcision, right? To show that they were part of the line of Abraham. So that was already somewhat taught to them. But he's saying is, all of you that are still stiff-necked, circumcise the foreskin of your heart. Because what Moses was saying, and why Jesus came, and what Paul and all the apostles, they deal with the issues of our heart. Of our heart. We have a heart condition. And a lot of times, our heart is not right before God. Can I get amen? Here's a little tidbit I'm going to throw regarding that, since we're on this subject. You know, when Joseph, you've heard Joseph and the coat of many colors?
Yes.
Okay. And we all know that he was in prison for falsehood, for being entrapped by one of Pharaoh's, wife, right?
Yeah,
Potiphar's wife. And then a famine came. We all know that, right? Remember the famine came? And then all the tribes everywhere else was coming to Egypt because of Joseph's revelation.
Yeah.
And then, remember, he wept and he cried when he saw his father and his brothers come. And they were all there. I'm going to ask you this question, because this was revelation. He gathered them all in a room and he told everyone to get out but his family. Because they still didn't recognize who he was. So why did he tell everyone to get out? And then there was a demonstration done. Many theologians believe this. How did he convince them that he was their little brother?
Set them in order.
That's one. Yes. Yes. Because he told them, I'm your brother. And they didn't believe it, right? But what was the final deciding factor? And why did he tell the people to leave except them?
Because they weren't Jewish.
He unclothed himself and showed them the foreskin. He was circumcised. The Egyptians didn't do that. That was the clincher. That was the clincher. And so they fell on their face and it's you, Joseph. And they repented right there. That was a foreshadow when Jesus comes back and he puts his feet on the Mount of Olives in Zechariah 14. And they're going to see him whom they pierced. And they're going to fall on their face. It is you, Yeshua, who we put on the tree. My. I need you to catch this tonight. You were praying that God would give a revelation tonight. And this came right now. Hallelujah. It ain't on my notes. This is the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus. This is how good God is. This is how he brought his brothers back, his father back. All of them came back running to him. Because they saw he was circumcised like us. That's Joseph. My. My. We can think of all kinds of things. But when you look at that, how he told everyone to get out of the room but you guys. He wasn't going to show his nakedness to the world. He showed it to them. Wow. And God's going to show it to the Jews. His hands. And his side. And many are going to fall on their face. Jesus. Look what I found in Jeremiah right up here. In Jeremiah 4:4. Look at this. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord. And take away the foreskins of your hearts. You men of Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem. Lest my fury come forth like fire. And burn so that no one can quench it because of the evil of your doings. You see, there's something with the human heart that needs to get right with God.
Yes.
It needs to get right with God. That's right, Jeremiah 17, what? The heart is deceitful above all, desperately what? Wicked. And who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart and try the reins.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right.
So Paul's readers who boasted of their faith yet refused to turn from their sin were storing up terrible punishment when God's wrath would be poured out upon them. This is why we have to be real careful. This is why the Bible says you must be born again. There's people in religious circles that have never been born again. They never had the experience of the power of the Holy Spirit come into their life through repentance. And so they're in church doing religious things. And yet they don't even know who God is. Wow. Let me ask you this question. You've heard, it's not here on my notes, but in Matthew, I believe, Jesus said, in those last days, many will come to me saying, Lord, didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we lay hands on the sick in your name? Didn't we prophesy in your name? And then he's going to say to them, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Man, God had to show me that revelation. I go, wait a minute, God. Well, how's that? How can that be? Because the Bible's clear that God is not like a man that could lie. Right? Let God arise. Let the enemy be scattered. And the word of God says, thy word is truth. Jesus is the word. So it's true. So here's the thing. He's telling these, depart from me. I never knew you. And then God spoke to me when I was inquiring. God, what does that mean? I mean that you could just throw us away like a dirty rag? He goes, no. These are the ones that were never birthed of me. They grew up religiously. They joined the church. They signed a card. They grew up with their family in church, but they never were born of me. They never repented. They never cried out for forgiveness. Yeah. I never filled them with my spirit. So that's why they never had intimacy with him.
No.
That's why he said, depart from me. I never knew you. Are you catching this?
They didn't give their heart to him yet.
They never gave their heart to him. I said, wow, God. That's a great comfort to me because I know what you did for me and I know how you saved me and I know how you filled me with the power of the Holy Ghost. I know how you transformed me. You gave me a brand new mind. You gave me a brand new heart. You gave me a brand new walk, a brand new talk. I no longer hang out with those who smoke and chew. Wow. It was the power of God. And so, by knowing who God is, you have intimacy with him.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. And the anointing of God is in you. The power of God is in you. So he cannot lie and say, I never knew you.
Right.
He can't lie to you because God will not lie to you. But he can tell those who were never born of him, I'm sorry, depart.
Yeah.
You were doing things I never called you to do. Wow. You see, saints, though we do not know exactly when that will occur, when Christ will eventually come, he's going to come, though,
yep,
to judge this world.
Yes, he is.
Guess what? He's going to take us out of the way.
Yep. Thank you, Jesus.
He's going to remove the church out of the way. Can I get amen?
Amen.
How many are so blessed that you don't want to be here when he pours out his wrath? Come on. The Bible's clear, we're not appointed unto wrath, but unto salvation. Can I get an amen? So God's going to move his church, his beloved, you and me, and millions around the world. He's going to move us out of the way and then pour out his wrath. Because the word of God is clear. Look at this in Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. The judgment. Pray for your loved ones. Pray for those. Pray for those. I'll tell you what's a miracle. Another miracle. When we pray for Brother Joe's brother, John. He woke up from his coma.
That's right.
And now they put him in a regular hospital bed.
Amen.
I said, man, God. He God does not cease to continue to amaze us. So you got to remember, if you remember what the scripture says, Jesus said, I am the same yesterday, today, and what?
Forever.
Forever. And so we're going to quickly go through these scriptures and then we're going to close. But let me just say this. All people will be held accountable with these truths that I'm going to show you. So we have to take these for what the scripture says. Can I get an amen? Job 34:11. Look at this. For he repays man according to his work and makes man to find a reward according to his way. So there is a reward when Jesus comes. We're going to see the reward right now when he comes for us. Look at this. In Psalms 62:12, King David wrote, also to you, O Lord, belongs mercy. For you render to each one according to his what?
Work.
His work. So the day God saved us, we've been working. Can I get an amen? We've been working. It's been, for me, by the grace of God, 35 years. Deacon Angel prayed for me right now, and I was so humbled by his prayers tonight during prayer. He said that me and Sister Yolanda have been steadfast over all these years. And what brings to mind is right here. For you render to each one according to his work. We want to continue to work until he comes for us.
Right.
Can I get an amen? There's no quitting us.
Right.
We're not going to throw in the towel. We're going to continue to serve him.
Yep.
I know people come and go, but guess what? We have no control of that. All we have control of is those who are there at that present time. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Look at this. Solomon wrote this in Proverbs. If you say, surely we did not know this, does not he who weighs the hearts consider it? He who keeps your soul does not know it. And he will not render to each man according to his deeds. What he's saying here is this. He's just basically saying, you need to take heed that God knows everything about our whole entire being.
Yes, he does.
And guess where we're going to stand one day? Not to be judged, to be cast into an eternal hell. But every believer is going to stand before what's called the judgment seat of Christ. So everything we've done and said for his glory, he's gonna balance that out. And we're going to be rewarded according to what we have done. Look at this. In Jeremiah 17:10, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his what? Doings. And then further on in that book, Jeremiah 32:19, you are great in counsel and mighty in work. For your eyes are open to all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings.
Yes.
I need you to understand that we've been privileged to operate in the kingdom of God.
Yes, we are.
It's not mandatory. It's a privilege.
Yes.
We've been privileged
to
operate in the kingdom of God. And look what Matthew 16:27 says right here. For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to what?
His works.
Now, remember I said we're all going to stand before Christ? Okay, this is not, I need you to make this clear. This is not the white throne judgment. The white throne judgment is where the false prophet, where the Antichrist, and all the unbelievers and all the wicked people will be cast into the lake of fire. But this, what I'm going to show you now, is what I've been saying a couple of minutes ago. It's right up here. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all, say that with me, all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So he's going to weigh out some of the stuff we've done for him as a believer. And he's going to reward us accordingly. You know, I've heard it said in a, I'm going to say a little condensed story, that the rapture took place, people are in heaven now, and there's a whole long line. And God is, one by one, giving out the rewards. So, there's a line that went forever. And the one guy that was next, he goes, man, when is this lady that's before him, when is this going to end? He goes, because whatever she's getting, I'm getting double that. I've done so much for God. I did all these things for God. The crusades, all he just went on and went on, and all the things he did for God. And God was giving this little old lady mansions and just wealth up in heaven. And then finally she was done, and so he came up. Here I am, Lord. God, I got your reward. Here it is. And he looked. It was a 10-speed. He goes, this all I get? He goes, yeah, that's your reward. And so he got on his bike and he drove away, and he was like, wow, wow. He thought he was going to get all these things, because all these things that he did for God, and he was boasting about it. So the following day, he was on the corner of Praise the Lord and Hallelujah Lane. And someone that was behind him saw him there on his bike and said, man, you look like you're not sorrowful no more. Look like you're happy on that 10-speed. He goes, I'm very happy. He goes, why the change? Well, see that guy across the street? He's on a skateboard. That's my pastor. Did you catch that one?
Yeah.
Huh? Listen, whatever you're doing, do it unto the Lord. Don't boast about it. Don't go, look at me over here, look at me over here. No. You need to be thankful that he saved you from the get-go.
Yes.
Can I get amen?
Amen.
Because we could have been grouped in this bunch right here. Look at this. In Revelation 20:12. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in this book. There's going to be a day that's called the white throne judgment. You and I will not be in that line. Praise God. But the false prophet, the Antichrist, and all the unbelievers that reject God's grace will be tossed into the lake of fire. Wow. So, Revelation 22:12. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give everyone according to his work. So remember what Paul also wrote to the Corinthian church. The rewards are going to be a type of gold, silver, brass, hay, and stubble. And even if you get stubble, be thankful. Because that person still, according to the Word of God, still will be saved. So let me just say this. Don't get into heaven and there's a smoke trail behind you. I just barely got in. Do something for the Lord. And whatever you do privately, he will reward you openly. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Don't let the left hand know what the right hand's doing.
Amen.
And we close with this in verse 7. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and what?
Immortality.
Immortality. Praise God. Praise God. You got to remember what the apostles try to convey right here, like in Luke here. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those having heard the word with a noble and good heart and keep it and bear fruit with patience. You know what? I'm so blessed when I see you guys come into Bible study, when I see you coming to Sunday mornings, when I see you participating in ministries to feed the poor and do all those things. You know what I see? I see the fruit of the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life.
Thank you, Lord.
It's God working in your life. It's all Him. And we can't do this. We can't. It's all God. And so I'm gonna close out with this and then we'll pray. In Ephesians, I'm just going to go right up here to Ephesians. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ for good works, for which God prepared before that we should what? Walk in them. So how many believe Jesus is coming soon?
Oh, yeah.
Huh? How many believe He's coming soon?
He's coming soon.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Listen, you need to take heed that He's coming soon and very soon. We see the handwriting on the wall. Can I get an amen? We've seen the last days and times that we're in. Therefore, our hope is around the corner. It's right up here. Look at this. But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, meaning died already, and they're in the grave. Lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. Look at this. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Look at this. Then we who are alive, that's us, and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, what does it say?
Comfort.
Frighten one another?
Yes.
No!
Comfort
one another. And for those of you that are watching on YouTube and Facebook, don't let this, what I'm going to show you, happen to you. Look at this right up here. Don't let this happen.
Jesus Christ is coming back for His church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, "Watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming." I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or He might come next week, or He could even come...
that fast. And so this is why, if you're watching one of the great first time sermons by Scaredy Cat Peter, remember he denied Jesus three times until he got filled with the Holy Ghost, and then he boldly came down on the feast of Pentecost, and his very first sermon to millions of them, he said, then Peter said to them, "Repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins." That means forgiveness of sins. "And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children. And to all far off, as many as the Lord God will call." Well, come on, give God a shout. If you're watching this, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for you. If you've never given your heart. And we're going to believe by faith that God wants to save you the same way He saved us. So bow your heart and your head with me and pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus,
Dear Lord Jesus,
I thank You, God,
thank
for my life.
I do believe
on your death,
burial,
and resurrection.
I believe that you died for me.
And the blood
that you shed on the cross
will cleanse me
from all my sins.
Lord Jesus,
I ask you now,
God,
to forgive
me
for every sin.
Come into my heart.
Make me a new person.
In Christ Jesus.
And from this day on,
I will do my best
to honor you
and to follow
you
all the days
of my life.
In Jesus'
name.
Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise.
Is he worthy?
Oh, come on.
Listen, we love you guys.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.